Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 14 to verse 44. Luke 4, verses 14 to 44. Let us first sing as Psalter 227, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. My soul is longing, fainting, thy sacred courts to see. My heart and flesh are crying, O living God, for thee. All stanzas of Psalter 227.
Before we read from God's holy word, we wish to read the law of God as it can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 4, beginning with the 14th verse. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is this not Joseph's son? And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they had heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ, that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him, and came unto him, and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, and we try to draw nigh unto thee in this morning of this first Sabbath of this newly begun year. Thus thou permittest the Sabbaths to continue, to begin again, wherein thou dost bestow all thy labors upon us as a congregation denomination, so that thy word in the past that has gone forth so many times in the way of the preaching and of the reading, and thou givest it still to begin again in this new year in which we have been spared with our children. It shall be to each one of us a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. And what an awful thought, that we should perish under that free proclamation, a proclamation of free and saving grace to the chiefest of the sinners, that there should be no need felt in our hearts, that there should be no desire after thee. Wilt thou open unto us our guilt? And wilt thou grant us a true repentance? For no man can come unto thee except the Father which hath sent thee draw him. But then they will come when thou wilt draw them, And they will come with weeping and with supplications. They will come in their secret chambers. They will come in their desires. They will come in their sighs. They will come in their cries. They will come saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, when thou wilt open who thou art. And for one who is leprous, Lord, to whom else can we go then in the beginning of this day? And in the beginning of thy Sabbaths once again, to whom else shall we go? Because we have no power from our side, not for ourselves or for one another. Neither have we any merit. Having forfeited everything that thou hast given unto us in paradise, so that we are worthy only to be cast from thy sight. Wilt thou open unto us what our sin is? And wilt thou grant us a true repentance and a coming to thy footstool? And we have heard together in these moments out of thy holy word, also of the beginning of thy ministration here upon this world. Then thy word did go forth with power. Lord, we beseech thee also that it may be so in the days in which we are living with our children. And wilt thou look upon young and old, in the needs of body and soul, remember thy people, feed thy church. For who lives must eat and drink, or they die. Oh, that thou may remember them, then who are thine. They live by the power of thy Spirit. They cannot die because thou preservest them. Oh, that thou may give them to feel something of that upholding of thy Spirit, that thou may give an increase in that grace that is experienced in the soul, and that they may be given to taste something of thy goodness, of thy grace. And wilt thou remember us when we are yet unconverted? Then thou still sparest us to begin this year together, and thou still laborest with us to dig and to dung the tree of our life. And what shall all those labors bestowed on us bring forth as fruit to thee? For when there shall be no fruit, and then that time will come and that thou wilt say, cut it down. Why cumberest it yet the ground? Oh, that thou may bring that word then into the heart of those in whose heart it has never come. It has come into our minds. And wilt thou bring it further into our hearts in this day, and in the days to come, in the year to come? Oh, that there may be many among us that are wrought upon by thy Spirit. Lord, thou knowest the day in which we live. We are so self-satisfied with all that we receive here below. We do not need Thee. Dead in sins and in trespasses, Satan's devices many, roaring lion, angel of light, to draw us to every vanity in this world, the young people, the older ones, all of us together. And then who has power against his devices but Thee? O Lord, that Thou may grant new ones to be born in Zion. O that we as a congregation may be brought upon our knees, and that we could not go on any more in our vain life, and that is as a shadow, and that is passing quickly away. Remember the afflicted and the sick, and Thou knowest where that they are, and those that are relatives also of some in our midst, and friends in the community, serious diseases. O Lord, wilt Thou grant unto the sick a special place by Thee? They have a burden to bear. O, that Thou may give that ability to cast that burden upon the Lord, that they may experience that Thou carest for them. And could it please Thee to remember them in the need of their souls? Look upon parents, look upon children, look upon us as office bearers. When office bearers will be installed once again in this morning hour when Thou will give it, Lord, that Thou Thyself may remember them. Many years already in this service, and that they may do and by the upholding of Thy hand with the gladness of their heart. Oh, that they may experience something of Thy nearness and Thy favor. There is no merit in it, but it is Thy work, O Lord, in Thy house. Oh, that they may also be given to experience that favor of Thee in it. Wilt Thou look on us in this morning hour? Do help us to bring Thy word. Do strengthen us yet this day, this morning, this afternoon hour, that we may be enabled to bring Thy word. Give us faithfulness. Give us light, that we may know Thy truth, and that we may know how to bring that truth in all simplicity. And wilt Thou do as Thou hast promised, to put Thy words in our mouth, and that the fruit of it may be experienced among us. Do forgive, and what is amiss and sinful in Thy holy sight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 334 all the stanzas. Thy word sheds light upon my path. A shining light, it guides my feet. Thy righteous judgments to observe, my solemn vow I now repeat. We announce, the Lord willing, there will be a youth group for our young people, the Lord willing, on Saturday, January the 10th, in the Lethbridge Church at 7:30 p.m. The last collection today is for our school, 334 all stanzas. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you from the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and thereof the 36th verse. Luke 4, verse 36. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. So far, the words of our text. Amazement at the authority and the power of the Word of Christ, first experienced in the days of Christ, second experienced to the end of time. Amazement at the authority and power of the Word of Christ, first experienced in the days of Christ, second experienced to the end of time. What a word is this? That is, congregation, an exclamation. It is an exclamation at what? It is an exclamation at the Word of Christ. That is not the first time. If we see him, children, when he was only 12 years old, and then we see that he was also in the temple, and there he was sitting in the midst of the doctors, and he was both asking them and he was answering their questions. And then we read already then that they were astonished. That they were astonished at what? That they were astonished at his understanding and at his answers. We have read when he has gone to Nazareth, that place where he was brought up in the beginning of his ministry. And then we read here also that all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Thus, it was not only at his understanding, but now at the graciousness of those words that they are marveling. We read that he goes down to Capernaum and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Thus, his understanding, the graciousness of the words that came out of his mouth, and now also the power of his doctrine. And thus we read it also in the words of our text, and they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." His word that was with power. Who needs power? A helpless man, a powerless man needs power. See that man here. That man, we can read, that is possessed. He is possessed with an unclean spirit. And that spirit he has taken over the mind of that man. He has taken over the body of that man. So that they are no longer his actions, so that they are no longer his words, but that man, he is completely the instrument of Satan. What a misery. There was no power in that man. There was no power in the relatives of that man. There was no power in the friends of that man that they are able to deliver that man from this power of the devil. We read that there was a man in the land of the Gadarenes who was also possessed. And those people, because there was a great inconvenience for them, he has made all those ways unsafe. And there was nothing more than that people desired, and then that they could deliver that man from that legion. And so they have tried to contain him, and they have experienced their powerlessness over against the power of the devils. We read of a lunatic man. Oh, that father, he loved his boy. What would he not do in order to deliver that boy? Because that devil, he would throw him into the water, that he would drown. He would throw him into the fire, so that he would be burdened. Oh, the heart of that father that did bleed for his son, but he then had to experience that he was without power over against the devil. Thus we have a picture of a people who are lying in their helplessness. They are under the power of the devil himself. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." The devil did not fear man. Why did he not fear man? Because man had no power. He was much more powerful. He did not need to fear man. But look how that he has feared the Lord Jesus. Why? Because the Lord Jesus, he had power. He knew that the Lord Jesus had power even to destroy him. And not only to destroy him, but to destroy all the other devils with him. That is, to take away completely that freedom that those devils were given on that chain, and to reserve him immediately by chains into unto the everlasting darkness. He had power to destroy him. He had power. He had authority. Authority, what is that? That is power to rule. That is power to govern. Therefore, that unclean spirit, he begins to beg the Lord Jesus. He is at the mercy of the Lord Jesus. He begins to beg him. He says, "Let us alone." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Hold thy peace and come out of him. What did he do? Did he give him a little gentle advice? Did he invite him, if he pleased, to come out? Did he try to persuade that devil that it would be advantageous that he would come out of that man? No. But he gave a command. He gave an authoritative command. And Satan still tries to harm that man. He throws him in the midst. But he is prevented from harming him, and he must come out. He has no choice. He cannot do otherwise. And why not? Because of that power, because of that authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. How was that power administered? What did he do, boys and girls? The Lord Jesus. Did he use the strength of his arm? Say no. He only spoke. He only spoke. It was a word that came out of his mouth. Say, what can words do? And maybe someone, sometimes they call you names, boys and girls. And then you say, well, those names, they cannot hurt me. That is just words. Just words. But here are also words. Just words. Just the word of whom? Just the word of the Lord Jesus. And that power and that authority which he commands, that is being administered through a word. Is it then understandable that people, that they are amazed? And spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." Did we ever so marvel at the word of God? Did we ever so marvel at the word of Christ? Because it was not only in his days, but as we see in our second thought, that is also to the end of time. What a word is this? We have begun congregation in this morning, the first Sabbath day of this new year. You hope to begin again, boys and girls, tomorrow. You hope to go to school, And your fathers, they will go to work. Your mother, in the home, everyone. You will go about your studies, the young people in university. All the labors, they begin again. But first this labor. First another labor. And that is the labor of the Sabbath day. It is the labor of the Lord upon the souls of men. And now what do we need more than to experience that power that that man experienced? To experience the power and the authority of that Word of God, that we would experience this in our soul, from the oldest unto the youngest, each one in a personal way. Why? The Lord Jesus, He spoke about a strong man armed who keepeth his palace. Who is that strong man armed? That is Satan. What is that palace? That is the heart of a man. The heart of a man. We have congregation chosen Him in our deep fall. In paradise, we have made a choice. And we have made a choice not for the Lord, but we have made a choice for the devil. And when that strong man armed, he keeps his palace, then all his goods are in peace. That is the way it is in our hearts, is it not? Let our own heart testify. It is true, we have some fits of conscience sometimes. Then we are a little bit disturbed. We know our life is not right. For a moment we cannot sleep. We turn over again and then it is okay. It is true. Sometimes under a serious word, and then our thoughts, they are about eternity. We know what we miss. We fear. We tremble. We leave. We go on again. And our goods, they are in peace. The natural man, he is under the power of the devil. Or he is not forced. He is not forced, but he is willingly. That is, his will he has subjected, he has given over unto the devil, and he has given also his affections, his love. He has given him over unto the devil. Say, that is not a nice thing to say about us, because I am a religious man. Yes, so were the Pharisees and the Lord Jesus. He said, you are of your father, the devil. What can we say? Are there more than two ways? Are there more than two kingdoms? Is there a third beside the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil? Thus we are either of God or we are of the devil. What a word is this? The Remonstrants, the Arminians, They have no such exclamation. What a word is this? And why not? Because they disagree with the enslavement of the natural man unto that prince of darkness. They attribute powers, spiritual powers, unto the will of that natural man. No, he is not completely corrupt. He is only hindered. He is hindered, the natural man. That is, he is hindered by a darkened understanding. He is hindered by irregular affections. And if you will only take away the hindrances from that natural man, well, then he is able to choose the good again. He has common graces. He has common gifts from the Lord. And with those common gifts from the Lord, he is able gradually, when he will use them in the right way, he is gradually able then to gain those saving graces, to gain spiritual graces. He does not need a new power to be infused into him. He does not need new gifts from the Lord to be infused into him. No, what do that people need in their natural state? They need to be advised. They need good advice. And it is now that good advice which is sufficient to make a natural man into a spiritual man. God does not need to renew that will. God does not need to bend that will. Thus, the Arminian, he has power. They are not then a powerless people. They are not then a people that are completely enslaved by that prince of darkness in a natural death. And therefore, it is not a people that know anything about this exclamation that we read in the words of our text, "What a word is this?" Our fathers, they say it very different. Then they describe that natural man in his powerlessness. They describe that natural man in his death. They describe that natural man in his captivity to sin and to Satan. They say he is wicked. He is rebellious. He is obdurate. He is stubborn in heart and in will. He has affections that are not going out after the Lord, but he has affections that are impure. And he is not capable of that saving faith, of saving good. It is the opposite. He is prone to all evil. He is dead. He is in bondage. He is in bondage to sin. Without regenerating grace, then there is no ability. Not only no ability, there is no will. There is no desire to return unto the Lord. Without regenerating grace, there is no ability to reform himself. Without regenerating grace, there is no desire to reform himself. He cannot even without regeneration dispose that natural heart toward that desire. Is he called? Yes. He is seriously called. He is unfeignedly called by the gospel, but he rejects it. Oh, he is warned. He is warned about his danger. But he turns away. That is the natural man. That is the death state of that natural man, dead in sins and in trespasses. Captive. What a word is this? One word. One word of his authority, one word of his power to deliver a man from Satan's power. To deliver a man from that natural state of death. Oh, what a word then is this? Our fathers described that. That is a powerful illuminating of the mind, of the intellect. That he may begin to rightly understand and discern the things of the Spirit of God. At the same time, that Holy Spirit pervading the inmost recesses of his heart, opening a closed heart, softening a hard heart, circumcising that which is uncircumcised, infusing new qualities into his will, quickening that will, from being evil, from being disobedient, from being refractory, that it may be made good, obedient, pliable. What a word. What a word is this? For with authority and power, he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out of him. Congregation, we have begun 2015. It is this morning just a simple message. It is a simple, simple word from the Word of God. Two things that you may take home with you this morning. And that is, the first place, our state of death by nature. Or if the Lord gives, that we may still continue to preach His word among you. Oh, then we hope that we will never depart from this. Dead, dead, dead. Why? Because it is the truth. Because it is the reality. Or if we could go from this place, this first Sabbath of this new year, and go out that door, mourning, weeping, dead, dead, dead. That is in the first place. Captive. Unable to release myself from that captivity. In the second place, the authority and the power of the Word of God. By that Holy Spirit of the Lord. Oh, that we may be drawn to that Word. And that we could not let that Word go. Because out of that Word alone, it is possible for that power of that devil to be broken in my life. What a word is this. Solomon, he said, where the word of a king is, there is power. As true boys and girls write, the king, he just speaks. And when the king has spoken, then everybody listens. Whose word is this? You ever think about that? When you open your Bible and you read your Bible, then you must think that is now the word of the King of Kings. And where the word of a king is, there is power. That is now the experience of that true church in regeneration. There is a people. They can tell you about the power that they have experienced out of that Word of God. You ever ask them, young people? Sometime you may go and you may sit with them and you may ask them and say, tell me now. Tell me now of that power, of that authority that you have experienced in your life out of that Word of God. Saul was a Pharisee. Pharisee. He was of his father, the devil. And then the Lord came. The Lord came with one word. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul, Paul, he may say in his life, what a word was that? What a word was that? He said, I was alive without the law once. And then the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. What a word was that? When the Lord Jesus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Then congregation, what a word was that? What a word. The Spirit said to Paul, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And they went out there by that riverside, by Philippi. And there he began to speak the word of the Lord. And what do we read of that word? In the heart of that Lydia, that the Lord opened her heart. And for the rest of her life, then that woman, she has without doubt spoken unto her friends and family to say, what a word was that? When Peter preached at Pentecost, what a word was that? 3,000 hardened in sin, captive by Satan, crying out, men and brethren, what must we do? What a word is this? There are those that know it because they have been sitting in their benches and suddenly, when they have been singing, when that word was read, when that word was preached, and then suddenly their eyes were opened that they may experience something of the power and the authority of that word. And then they say, what a word is this? That is not only in the regenerating grace, but that is also to lead them further, because when Mephibosheth, he heard that summons of King David, that he now had to come before him. O congregation, what a word was that? What a word. The fear, the anxiety that lived in that man because of that word. And when that Mephibosheth may lay there, and when he may hear so unexpectedly from the mouth of that king, saying, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And congregation, what a word was that? Oh, what a word was that? When that eunuch could not understand the word of God, and when Philip came and began at that same scripture to preach unto him Jesus, then what a word was that? What a word it was when Christ said, Mary, Mary. Then what a word was that? Congregation, it is the beginning once again in this year. What will that word bring forth? Will you remain in it? Will you remain in that word in this year that is to come? Yes, we are dead. So, so dead. We are under that power of the prince of darkness. We have no power. Young people, you say it is so hopeless because from our side there is no power. No. From our side, no power, that is true. But do you want to be converted? Do you want to be converted? if the Lord, He would say to us that there was one person in Fort McLeod in this coming year that was to be converted by Him. What would your heart say? But what also would you do? Because faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Lord is speaking. The Lord is speaking through that word. Oh, that it may be a year that we are not so listless, that we are not so careless, but that we are doing with all our natural powers what the Lord requires of us when He says, seek, seek, seek. And in that seeking, then He is promising, seek and ye shall find. Man shall not live by bread alone. Will we live this year by bread alone? By bread alone. Would that be sufficient when the Lord would give us bread on our tables? And that year will go by us again as quickly as last time. Then it will be done. And what shall be the profit? Oh, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Oh, that we might live by that word. That the Lord may give us life through that word. And that every day we might live by that word. Oh, then we must be busy in the word. And then we shall also say, what a word is this. Amen. We will now sing from Psalter 429, stanzas 1 and 2. Afterwards, the form for the installation of elders and deacons, it will be read to you. 1 and 2 of 429. With all my heart will I record thy praise, O Lord, and exaltation. And what follows? 1 and 2 of 429.
The form for the ordination of elders and deacons, as it can be found in page 145 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren here present who are chosen to the office of elder and deacon in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had aught to allege why they should not be ordained in their respective offices. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to their ordination. But first, you who are to be ordained, and all those who are here present, shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elders and deacons. Of the elders is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament, and signifieth a person who is placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ, for the apostle saith, "The elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Hence, it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church. The former whereof did labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments. But the others, who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church, bore a particular office, namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul, in Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, "He that ruleth, let him do it with diligence." Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God has instituted in the church. 1 Corinthians 12. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them, as in the Old Testament the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remain distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church to the end, that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, "Tell the church," which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether everyone properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent, as much as possible, the sacraments from being profaned. Also, to act, according to the Christian discipline, against the impenitent, and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church. As doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order amongst Christians, and that no other person ought to serve in the Church of Christ but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance. Therefore, it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the Church, to be assistant with our good counsel and advice to the ministers of the Word. Yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the Word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the Church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read in Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound, diligently to search the Word of God and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. Concerning the deacons, of the origin and institution of their office we may read Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose, because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministrations, men were chosen, by the advice of the apostles, who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves in prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And this has been continued from that time forward in the Church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the Church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely, that they, in the first place, collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor. Yea, to do their utmost endeavors that many good means may be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires, Romans 12, 2 Corinthians 9, for which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer a relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture.
I now ask those who are to be installed in their office to please arise. To the end, therefore, beloved brethren, Mr. Gerrit van Heerden and Mr. Henry van Sluis, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your respective offices upon you, ye shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you, both elder and deacon, whether you do not feel in your hearts and that you are lawfully called of God's Church and consequently of God Himself to these your respective offices. Secondly, whether ye believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only Word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and to reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether ye promise agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully according to your ability to discharge your respective offices as they are here described, ye elders in the government of the Church together with the ministers of the Word, and ye deacons in the ministration to the poor. Do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourself in case ye should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church? What is your answer, Mr. Gerrit van Heerden?
Yes.
Mr. Henry van Sluis. The Almighty God and Father replenish you with His grace, that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your respective offices. Brothers, we have heard read to us in these moments that your offices, they are not directly to bring the Word of God. We have heard out of God's Word, what a word is this? And yet your offices, they have very much to do with that word. We have heard that the office of deacon, that was instituted in order that word may be brought by the apostles, that they did not have themselves to care for the poor. We have heard also that it is necessary for you as deacons not only to minister gifts in this world, but that you may speak by times of that holy word of God and to minister unto them comfortable words from Scripture. We have heard also of the office of elder, how that has to do also with that word, as you are placed in the government of this church, also to watch over the administration of that word from this pulpit. That word that is true. And you have, of course, always your labors in the catechism class and in the house visitation where you also are speaking by times of this word. We read that Pharaoh said to Joseph, "According to thy word shall all my land be governed." What a responsibility. When he would speak, then it would be done. And yet he says, "I am in the throne higher than thou art." Thus, that word that had to come from Pharaoh. Samuel said to King Saul, "The Lord has rejected you from being king because you have rejected my word." The Lord says in his word by Moses that you shall add nothing to it and you shall diminish nothing from it. We hear John in the book of Revelation, he says the same, that you shall not add to the words of this prophecy, or you shall not take away from the words of the prophecy of this book. And why not? What a word is this? It is the word of God. It is quick. It is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. But what is our word? Our word is none. And therefore, this congregation, they must be able to perceive that what is spoken here, that is truly the word of God. And what comes out of your mouth, that is also that it is truly the word of God, because faith that takes hold not of the word of man, but it takes hold of the word of God. David, he says, "My heart standeth in awe of thy word." He says, "I rejoice at thy word." Faith takes hold of that word. I trust in thy word. My hope is in thy word. And therefore, Solomon, he says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. We read in the book of Acts that when that word was preached, that many believed. And the number of them was about 5,000. What a wonder. If we may be used in the offices in the church of God, that men, women, children may be given to stand in awe of that word, not by us, but by that Holy Spirit of the Lord. We hope that the Lord may give to you that strength that is necessary for your office, that you may not be strangers for the first time or by renewal of that exclamation, what a word is this, that it also may become evident in your service among us. Congregation, pray for your office bearers. And because we are not called to bring that which is our own, but we are called to bring the word of the Lord. How is it with your desire for that word? You read in the Bible that there was a people, that word was to them precept upon precept, line upon line. They spoke about the burden of the word of the Lord. Is that the way it is for us, a burden? We read of the multitudes that they were pressing about the Lord Jesus that they may hear his word. How is it with us? Or may we never, when the Lord has given the offices to be filled in his church, may we never leave our place empty. Without a good reason. The Lord knows. You say, I can read it in my home. That is true. And we hope that you do. But it is now especially in the preaching of that word. It is especially in the administration through the offices. That is the reason that they are given by the Lord. That the Lord is giving a people to experience. That this word is a word of power, a word of authority. Have you not experienced that yet? Is it still that you say it is just as every other word? Do you desire that the Lord would speak to you? Read of a woman in the Bible. That she desired that the Lord would speak. And we read the Lord answered her, not a word. Not a word. Is that the way it is with you also? That woman, she kept on. She kept on. And that woman was not put to shame. And she also could testify. In the end, what a word is this. We ask you to stand and to sing from Psalter 368. Stanzas 4 and 5. I will abundantly provide for Zion's good. The Lord hath said, I will supply her daily need and satisfy her poor with bread. 4 and 5, of 368 standing. Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you, and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution every one against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans. Show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be all with one accord faithful in your offices, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich, give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that hath stolen or hath been burdensome to his neighbor steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you doing these things in your respective calling shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy Church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the Word, rulers and assistants by whom Thy Church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assist, and that Thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with Thy Spirit. We beseech Thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that every one may in his respective office acquit himself as is becoming. The elders, in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of Thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with Thy holy word. Give grace both to the elders and deacons that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution in the world. Grant also, especially Thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that every one acquitting himself of his duty, in Thy holy name may thereby be magnified in the kingdom of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 417, stanzas 2 and 3. Then, at Thy sacred altar bending, my heart to God in prayer I'll raise, with harp and voice in worship blending, in Thy courts resound while psalms ascending to God, my highest joy bring praise for all His wondrous ways. 2 and 3 of Psalter 417. Thank you.
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.